if I can talk about this.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacey, the new age old school mom.
I'm Stacey, the political princess.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
It takes us a full 17 seconds to get around everybody.
I want Jean to change hers.
To what? To what? Jean?
Big Jean.
Big Jean.
Big Jean.
Big Jean. Big Jean and the hizzy.
So tonight, what is everyone drinking besides a cup of despair?
Oh.
I'm drinking Black Box Merlot.
Oh. Yeah, that's kind of.
And I'm not going to justify it.
I'm okay. No, don't.
Drink it fast.
What are you drinking it out of?
A Yeti.
I'm drinking Ménage à Trois Red because I haven't been able to get out to buy wine. So that's all I have stock of.
I am drinking this Mazzarini sparkling rosé that I think I got for my birthday. I did make it into a mimosa because I've been craving one for like
your birthday in October.
I think so.
How does one hold on to wine that long?
Yeah, right?
We've got a lot going on.
It's October?
Maybe not. I honestly don't know where it came from. But that was my best guess. Maybe it was like a sympathy gift. I don't know. Anyways, I tried it on its own before I made a mimosa out of it because I just really wanted orange juice. And it's delightful. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Nice. Well, I guess it was worth the wait.
Yeah. Doesn't it get better with age?
Well, that's what they say. I am drinking Hooker Brewery Irish Red Ale. And I just love the art on the can. And I just love a nice, fresh Irish red ale. That's that.
Big Jean.
Big Jean.
Big Jean.
I'm drinking mango flavored vodka.
Oh, for
and
fuck's
soda.
Sake.
You know what? I don't know what to tell you. It will not change. I don't know how to drink anything other than vodka. I am Polish. I don't know. Seriously, I just like it, and it's good, and I don't have a hangover from it anymore. Well,
Jax is drinking boxed wine out of a Yeti. I don't think you have to justify what you're drinking.
Thank you.
Tonight is a no justification night. Do what you want, and you don't have to qualify it.
God.
Yeah.
It's the goddamn pandemic. That's
and
why.
You know what else? It's Sky Vodka.
Oh, jeez.
Keeping it Florida classy.
You know. Oh. You know.
That reminds me of Saturday Night Live. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Night at the Roxbury. They probably would drink Sky Vodka.
Hell yeah. It's good, actually. I'm not going to lie. This mango one is delicious.
It sounds good.
Mm. Put a little lime in that. It's I'm feeling pretty damn good right this second. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, wow. Right. Check you out.
Stacey, sure. Let's jump into the dumpster fire that you're watching of human garbage.
Okay. It really is the worst thing ever. Too hot to handle. It's simultaneously the worst and best show I've ever watched. in the sense that the show itself is just trash, but in the best way possible. And there is a narrator. I know I've talked about Nailed It. Have you guys watched Nailed It at all? No.
Is that okay. The one with the baking?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it has a comedian narrating who's very similar to the host of that show. So she's super funny and just making fun of these people all the time. The premise is they take a bunch of very hot, very horny, early 20 somethings, and they put them on a beach somewhere. And the catch is every time they have sex or masturbate or perform any sort of act on each other or themselves, the prize money dwindles. So they get like charged of, you know, from this account every time, whatever. But they set them up on dates, and they, if you've ever watched,
wait, the group prize money gets down. So like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So how like, many people are there?
If you fuck somebody, everybody's money gets.
Oh
yeah.
Hell
so
no.
At the end, of, so there's oh. these, like Alexa like things in every room and stuff. And they give them orders and invite people on dates and stuff. And obviously, if you get a date, like, those people are probably going to have sex. And so at the end, when they, like, group everybody up at the end of the day or whatever, with this, like, Alexa thing, I forgot its name already, it'll say, like, this person and this person, you guys did. And then sometimes they have to bleep it out, which is funny because they can swear on that show because it's Netflix. So
what the hell are they? Yeah, what are they bleeping?
No, they'll say, like, you did whatever. That'll cost you, you know, $20,000.
It goes, you did and
that happened once.
Damn it, I'd become the biggest cock block in creation if I was on that island.
Okay, is there, like, a ton of alcohol involved?
I don't remember them being, like, sloppy drunk ever. I don't even actually remember seeing them drink. Let me just tell you that this one guy in the interview on the first episode said the thing he's most proud of in his life is his penis.
Oh.
And I was
wow,
like,
they really pick hey. Some weird people.
The bar is low. Have you ever watched Love Island?
No.
That like British trashy show? It, there's some British people on this show. So there's a little like hint of that. And then it is such.
What is the pool of prize money, like how much money is in it?
It starts out as $100,000, and okay. by the final episode it's down pretty low because a few people kiss and that's like $3,000, $2,000, something like that. Oh, and they have smartwatches on, so if you're with somebody and your watch turns green, then you can like kiss and stuff. The whole premise is supposed to be that they're building like emotional relationships and stuff, and they're having those connections and not like physical connections, except all they do is just have sex anyways and then lose all the prize money.
Well, how much do you like, lose if you masturbate?
That I don't know, because I don't know
asking
that it's
for a friend
did. I don't know, because I don't know if anybody actually did, but like the men all had to do this like man spiritual thing where they like drew pictures of their fears and then rubbed mud all over each other and stuff, and then the women had to do this thing where they all stared at their vaginas in mirrors, their yonis, as they called it, and then they had to like paint a picture of their yoni.
Oh my god.
And it was the most. My cousin texted me and she's like, I'm watching this show, and I literally just referred to one of them as human birth control. Out loud. I was like, yeah. That makes sense.
Interesting. Oh my God. How many people are there on this island?
I want to say like 8, 10 maybe. 10, like 5 guys, 5 girls, 6 of each maybe. And not many. Like it's super, super small. And they do get rid of a couple people and then bring a couple new people in. And...
How long are they on the island for?
Oh, they could not have been there. It's only like 8 episodes, I think.
They couldn't keep it in their pants for like 2 weeks for $100,000, bro.
Right, we have obviously been married for a while. Like, girl, what are you talking about? And,
mind you, these are complete strangers. Yeah. They couldn't not have sex with a complete stranger for however long they were there. 20 days is my guess.
For $100,000, shit.
I need to know their backstory. Right? Like, how much money do they have normally? Like, are these like rich hot kids or are they like slum kids? I feel like a poor hot kid would probably be like, I'm gonna keep it in my pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, like a rich kid who's like, it doesn't matter, I drive a Land Rover anyways, I don't give a fuck, I'm gonna get my cock sucked. I don't know why that's my
that they came across as like super rich, but none of them, it's hard to tell because it's just people in swimsuits and you don't see their lives or what they wear or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. None of them seem that concerned about the money. Let's just say that.
Yeah, this is clearly filmed before.
Yeah.
I wonder if they get some type of stipend to be on it. Like, they each get 20 grand off the bat anyway, so.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? They probably all want to be actors and actresses. So they all those people go on those shows thinking they're going to get discovered by an agent or something.
Right. Yeah, but it's
discovered by a virus.
100%.
Chlamydia, they're going to get clapped.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, 100%. But it's I binged it all in one day while I was working.
So it's a brain buster, huh?
Oh yeah, really. It's hard to think about. Yeah, those deep.
That brings up an interesting question. I guess like, what amount of money, like, if I were single, like, what amount of money would I have to be given to just have sex with a random person? I don't know.
Ooh. Like, you know, an indecent proposal.
Yeah. Kind of
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like, would you? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking like maybe like $5. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, like, I think it would have to be like a lot of fucking money. Like,
because indecent proposal is $1 million, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$1 million would do it for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't even question that. I feel like even if I were, like, if I was still with Gail, she'd be like, you need to do this?
I feel like all of your spouses would be like, obviously, $1 million, go ahead.
Yeah, it'll be fine. We'll just shower after you're done. You're going to be fine.
I still wouldn't if I was still married, because the wrath of my wife would not be worth that $1 million.
Even if she told you to go ahead and do it.
She wouldn't really be okay with it. That's not how women work, Erin.
No, but
have you seen the movie Indecent Proposal?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
They both agreed they were going to do it for because they needed the million, and then it destroyed everything afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if I was still married, $1 million still would not be enough.
I feel like there would be so many stipulations, and being married would be one of them. Like, I would have to be single. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would be my first stipulation.
Yeah.
I don't know. People get desperate when they need money. Yeah.
Just look at Too Hot to Handle.
Right?
What if it this way? Could you
you had a ransom to pay.
Could you handle it if Gail slept with someone for $1 million? Like, legitimately handle it long term.
No. Okay. Absolutely not. I used to get jealous when she would text her ex-husband for Christ's sake. She's like, are you kidding me? I divorced him. I'm like, I don't care. I'm like the most jealous person ever. I'd never be able to handle. I wouldn't even be able to handle her kissing someone else.
For $1 million?
For $1 million, I'd be like, nah, I don't really think we're good.
I think $1 million kiss is fine.
Yeah. Oh. I think I could deal with the backlash of $1 million kiss.
Yeah, but with or without tongue.
Whatever.
No, nobody's going to give away $1 million for a peck, Erin.
Yeah. Maybe they think that it's going to be one hell of a peck.
One of those, like,
tongue involved, if that level of money's going to be
exchanged. It's got to be one of those, like, TLC shows where they wait until the wedding to kiss for the first time and their tongues are like all over each other's faces. So, it's got to be like that.
Gene, what's the amount of money that it would take for you to sleep with a total stranger?
Is it a female?
Yes. It could be, yeah, whomever.
Is she hot?
No. She's average. She's completely average.
That changes the whole dynamic.
Well, yeah, it's easy to say you'd sleep with someone for money if they're hot.
Stable.
I agree. Well,
Gene, it's one
night. No, but listen. can we drink?
Duh.
Sure.
Well, I don't know.
Gene doesn't need money. She'll just do it for the drink.
Whiskey clit is an issue. So you gotta get all these things out in the open first before you make the deal.
Clit.
Guys, when she's done, I learned a fun fact about clits. I'd like to.
Really?
There are some things here that, first of all, if I desperately needed the money, then yes, I would absolutely sleep with an average looking stranger for $1 million, without a doubt. You know, if it came to, I had to pay bills, absolutely. But if I am just living a normal, comfortable life, you know, like I'm living now in my little townhouse condo, no, the person, the stranger's going to have to be hot. I'm going to have to find them hot.
Irresistible.
Hearts are breaking all over the world.
Yeah. I just heard a bunch of bank accounts close. Man. Like a door slamming.
And a bunch of vaginas dry up.
During this time, I think you need to lower it to like $1,200. $1,200. Everyone is $1,200 richer.
What's your
yeah,
fact?
And we only, all of us had to get fucked by Trump to get it.
Oh, gross.
We are all Stormy Daniels. Okay, my fun fact about Cliff is it started off as not as accurate as she would have liked to think. Emily tried to tell me that the actual full length of a clit is like the size of a cucumber. And I was like, that's not possible. So I Googled it because I was like, how is that? Whatever. Not a cucumber, maybe like the cocktail cucumbers, but general length, 4 inches.
Yeah.
So then,
like, you mean like length, nerve yeah. endings, including
the whole actual thing. So the only part that sticks out is, you know,
the hood,
a little nubbin.
Okay, a little so you're in the talking boat. About yeah. pulling out from the body, not stretching right. across along the crotch.
Right, but the okay. part that actually goes in, kind of shape. I learned a lot about clits because I Googled it. So then I saw a picture, kind of like a wishbone.
Hmm.
But yeah, basically just a 4-inch penis.
Huh. Interesting.
I have made a lot of wishes on a clit.
I had a really gross thought when you said that.
I know.
Cultures that remove it, do they yeah. remove all that inside or just that part?
I don't know. I'm trying to find the picture because I was like fascinated by this.
That just dampened the
right? That was my first thought. I was like, huh.
Look at it. It looks like a teeny wiener.
Oh my God, I never knew that.
Yeah, it does so basically look like
a teeny folded
it's a teeny
over
weenie.
Wiener.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's how, you know, during development, like that's where it comes from. And then, you know, so we all have little wieners.
Yeah, let your kids listen to this episode. Anatomy class for the day. Done. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So yeah, distance learning. You won't have to sit at the dining room table with them tonight. Let them learn about sex education from us.
It made so much sense because then they talked about how it's made out of like erectile tissue. And I was like, oh, yeah, lady boner.
That's right. It becomes engorged mm-hmm. like the penis.
I was so fascinated because I had never, I don't know, thought about that. Like yeah. during actual, like when the fetus actually like develops. Like, oh, yeah, look, it's just a tiny wiener that comes up here instead of, oh, that's fascinating. The human body is a...
Well, that's why men have nipples. Why do you think men have nipples?
Right.
Because every fetus starts out female.
Mm-hmm. There is a thought, though, that if a man takes prenatal hormones, then there is enough suckling that they could eventually produce milk.
Hmm. A man's not going to take any kind of pill unless beer's going to come out of his titties.
It's never been done and no one's ever tried it.
Oh, I'm sure it has. And Netflix is going to have a documentary on it soon, I'm sure.
I hope so. I really hope so. Netflix has kind of been crushing the game lately, though, between like Tiger King and Too Hot to Handle. Netflix's original content is really just crushing it.
Isn't there a new one going to be out, too, about a lesbian couple?
It's the true yes. story about the lesbian couple from A League of Their Own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's I was waiting what I for meant. Vodka Aaron to respond.
I'm the bar, you know, the lesbian. I thought that's clits. So oh,
you're sounding a little like Mitch McConnell. McCall's
they're 4-inch.
Too much vodka.
4-inch clit.
They've been playing with each other's 4-inch clits.
Oh, and you know why this came about? Because I saw the funniest meme. It was on the Tinder blog. And it said, it was like a guy typing. And it said, like, I got a B- in women's studies. And then he was typing. It said dot, dot, dot. Like, So something about that clitoris. And I laughed so hard because it said clitoris. And that's when Emily was like, did you know? Like, well, I didn't know that. I don't think it's real. And then I Googled it. And other fun fact, did you know ducks have corkscrew-shaped penises?
I did. The
male ducks. Yeah. And then the female ducks. Fuck. Yeah, the female ducks have corkscrew-shaped vaginas. And really? It just...
Ducks are like rapists, though. Male ducks in groups will like hold the female down. And I can't tell you how many objects I've thrown at when we used to have ducks at the male ducks to get off the female because they're like laying there screaming. Yeah, it's brutal.
Ew.
I throw at male ducks.
That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, you're welcome. Look, learning.
Stacey is talking about how they get removed, clits get removed, and then male ducks got their corkscrew raping
barbs on them.
And that looked like a little pipe cleaner.
It's got barbs because it hangs on to the females. Yeah.
Fuck, ducks.
Oh. The pigs are corkscrew and they're like 12 inches long.
No.
Yep. Yeah. I got a video I'll send you. I was out there and I was like, I had heard it, but I never watched it happen. And I watched it and I was like, oh my God.
Do you know pigs are one of the only creatures on the planet that have sex for pleasure besides humans and dolphins?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Their orgasms can last up to 45 minutes or something.
45 minutes.
My pig
now, that
so
would be
much.
$1 million worth it. You know, like, I would totally for $1 million.
You know what? If I could find a stranger who could do that, then I'd do them for free.
I think you can learn how if you get into like Tantra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It was on American Pie.
Mm-hmm.
It was. Yeah.
Tantric sex.
By the way, pigs are also the only species, well, I don't know, maybe some humans do this, that can eat and take a dump at the same time.
Oh, God. If you're a human doing that, don't.
Come on. You know there are some guys that run home with a giant sub wrapped in paper, and they have to take a dump, and they run up to the bathroom, and they're sitting on the toilet, and they're eating their meatball sub while they're pooping. I know that that's happened. I know.
A meatball sub specifically, or like any sandwich?
Just some sort of large, overstuffed stub.
I got a question.
I mean, overstuffed sub.
Stacey, how long does sex ed in school last now?
What?
How long does sex ed last in school now? Like, is it a semester, two semesters?
It depends on the grade. It was actually like they did it in elementary school, but it was just introducing like different things about like, you know, different families. It was more like health class kind of, you know. And then 7th and 8th grade, it was the same thing. They brought in a teacher and they sit in the class for 2 hours and then it goes to like a semester.
So they take a full semester of sex ed?
It's not sex ed, though. It's like health class. Hmm. So they do nutrition and other stuff, too.
Interesting. How long was your guys' sex ed classes? Do you remember?
The same.
Yeah.
The same. Ours started in 6th grade.
Yeah, ours started in 5th.
6th grade was when we did, like, family life for, like, that one day or whatever. Yeah. And then, we had health in 8th grade and then health again.
And they gave us roses walking out the door. I was at Edna Hill.
I think at Edna Hill, when I was there, we got like, I want to say we got bags, like goodie bags that had like deodorant samples and like a pad. And like,
there's some kids that probably have never seen some of that stuff. Like, that's really nice.
Which I'm glad we did that too, because everybody talks about like, you know, you started your period. Here's a pad, whatever. But like, deodorant is a great call.
Teenage
babies.
You don't smell good.
Our 8th graders here put condoms on bananas. That shocked me because we did not do that in 8th grade.
We didn't even do it in high school.
No.
I didn't have any type of sex education in high school. Well, not school sanctioned.
Self-education.
No, I'm just kidding. Not even that. But like, in my classes, I learned how to like bake peanut butter cookies and sew a wraparound skirt.
We didn't home ec.
Yeah, but that's we didn't have any other type of class other than that.
Hmm.
Weird.
We had sex ed in Rangeley, Colorado, which was like 2,500 people. So sex ed was always fun in the sense that like
Don't sleep with your cousin.
Yeah, like it was like literally like 55 students in my graduating class. So like we knew each other from like, you know, fourth, fifth grade. Everybody knew everybody's business. And I remember being in sex ed, and our teacher was obviously the PE teacher. And he was like this old balls guy that like was trying to teach us about a period. And I remember one of my friends being like, "You know nothing about periods."
I'm picturing like Coach Carr from Mean Girls.
I'm picturing Big Mouth. That one.
Yes.
Or Mr. Woodcock. Yeah.
I just couldn't imagine like my PE teacher teaching health. Like we had health teachers.
Yeah, we had health teachers.
It was like our volleyball coach didn't even have her degree. Like she had barely graduated high school and she was our volleyball coach. Like that was backwards Rangeley, Colorado. Like I wonder how amazing of a person I'd be if I went to a real school. You know what I mean? Like I'd probably be really fucking cool. Instead I'm like, I'm gonna get drunk on vodka every Thursday night.
Sorry. Monday,
that really old movie.
Yeah, like it's just Thursday.
Yeah, it's every night. What are who are we fucking around with? What did you say, Stacey?
Do you remember that really old movie called Porky's?
Yeah,
that's what I totally just thought of with the teacher,
right? And then like they have the hole in the bathroom,
like a glory hole.
Yeah. What's their name? I want to say like balls.
So did you talk to your kids about sex before they went to school to learn about it?
Me?
Who else has kids?
I
talked to Piper. I talked to Piper about it. Instead of doing that, I just took her to the vet and we cut her lady bits out. Problem solved.
Yeah, I did. I have a book. It's actually a pop-up book. And I sit down with my kids. Actually, I give it to them. They have to go read it by themselves. And then they come back and then we have to talk about it. And they have to ask me questions before sex ed starts. And it's a really cool pop-up book.
Can I borrow?
Does everything pop up in it?
It's got some of it's like the lift the flap. So when like the
that's what she said.
When the lady gets pregnant, like you can lift the flap up and you can see the baby in her belly. But also you can lift like I think it's the boy's shorts and see his penis. Yeah, but it's not funny. It's the best book I've ever seen for this topic.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's really, really cool. And I would like that you do that. Like, I think that that's really awesome that you were that proactive in their education about sex and health and their bodies. It's clear too, when you look at your kids and you talk to them that they were raised in a way that like they understand what's going on in the world and what's going on with themselves. And I think that's really awesome.
And they're well adjusted.
It was awkward for me growing up to talk to my parents about sex. So I was like, I really don't want that to happen because I learned it from like my friends and kids on the playground. Mm-hmm. So when my oldest daughter came home, she was in like fourth grade and she came home and she was like, this little boy at school in the cafeteria, he told one girl, "You're so pretty, I want to have sex with you." And then he told another girl, like, "Suck my dick" or something. And what? I was like, Oh my God, we need to talk. And that was when it was before I felt like I should give her the book, but I was like, we need to get this out in the open because you're obviously around little kids that are going to tell you some shit. And I want you to be like, you know, aware before you hear it from other people. Wow. So with her, it was a little early, but she was also really mature. My youngest, I waited until I was afraid she was going to start her period. And I was like, oh, okay, we need to talk about this before it happens.
She comes in screaming.
Right.
I'm dying.
It'll be my high girl. Remember in high girl when she was
It's so funny. Like, I talked to my partner about my period. We do what? What'd you say?
What?
Hello? Is this thing on?
I don't know. My screen froze. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I was just going to say, like, when I started my period in, I think it was sixth grade, Like, I had learned about periods, but I remember vividly, like, it happening in math class, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I was like, what is going on? What is this? Why is this brown? So I was like, did I poop my pants? Like, what is happening? Like, it was so embarrassed. So I'm like, I go home, and, like, you know, my mom's a nurse. So I'm like, Mom, like, I got to talk to you about something. I may have, like, pooped my pants or something. I don't know what's happening. I'm very upset. She's like, Erin, you started your period. I was like, no. And then, like, she had to teach me how to, like, use a tampon and all that stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, my mom's teaching me how to use a tampon. I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck is going on with my life right now. It was awful.
You know that my mother told me that tampons were for married women?
They really?
Oh, because some people think it, like, takes your virginity.
That's what
that
she
was
said.
A big rumor when I was in, like, fifth grade.
Well, she didn't have to worry about you.
That's right. That was wasted angst. It's almost like you get married and they unlock some secret door that, oh, okay, now you could wear tampons. But thank God I figured that out, or I would have been a maxi pad wearing lesbian my whole life, and that would not have been a life worth living. I'll tell you that. Right now. Just, tampons revolutionized womanhood for me.
Yeah,
I was tampons so scared to start my period. Like, I mean, I was on a competitive softball team at the time, so all the other girls were talking about getting their period. So I was just, like, waiting and waiting and waiting, and it hurt a lot. I remember that, and it was just cramps. But I remember I was at my dad's house at the time, and I told my stepmom that I started my period, and I just don't understand why it hurts so bad. And she was like, oh, honey, it's not going to get any better. Like, no. This is the beginning of a shit show, and it sucks like this for the next, like, 40 years. And I was like, no.
I remember, like, just wanting to get mine so bad because I didn't get mine until I was in the eighth grade.
Me either.
Yeah. And I was young. I'm an October baby, so I was, like, younger than everybody else, but I just remember thinking, like, I want my period. Everybody else has their period. And then I got it, and I was like, no.
Right? Oh, like, that's not fun. What's the return policy on
that
this?
Sucks.
That reminds me of, like, in, like, third and fourth grade when kids had braces, and I was like, God, I really wanted braces or glasses. And then I'm like, oh, I guess it's cool that I didn't have those.
Right? Now it's cool.
Yeah, I did. I ended up with the braces. That was fun.
So, but Jean, if you weren't taught about sex ed in school, who taught you about it?
Movies.
No one ever, like, sat you down?
No, my mother told me about my period, but nobody ever talked to me about sex.
Seriously?
I just kind of figured it out from friends and movies, and when I was a teenager, we babysat for one of my friends' aunts and uncle, and they had, like, a porno, so we watched that, and
you're
that's
a gold
really
star, right?
Like, I'm a gold star. I'm a gold star.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
And so Jackie sucking off the box of wine.
Look at dribbles. I had to get the dribble off before it landed on my white carpet.
You're classy as fuck, and I love it.
you had to get the dribble before it landed on your carpet.
That's what she said.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else I gleaned from this conversation that we've been having. The next time I ever do have a sex partner, I'm going to tell her to remember to lift the flap.
When you see that in one of Jean's next books, you'll know where it came from.
She lifted the flap.
That's real sexy.
And then I leaned over and began to caress her thigh and lifted the flap.
Wow.
That's hot.
Well,
you know what's
funny?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think everybody should watch Big Mouth.
Yeah,
it could be like the new sex education.
Yes, 100%. You know, I remember, like, I was probably 14 or 15, I think, when I first realized this is a lot. And but we're doing sex, so whatever. Like when I first realized like what masturbating is, because I was listening. Did I already talk about this Janet Jackson song?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Right.
And then you made us listen to the song.
That was the first time.
Yeah. Well, like I was like, what is this feeling I'm having? Whoa. And then like obviously whatever. But like I will never forget that first like feeling of like, I'm doing something so bad. Like I will go to hell for this. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I'm on the fast boat to fucking hell, and the devil is there waiting for me, because my mom was so much like, don't do anything bad. You'll go to hell. We were not even religious. But there was heaven and there was hell. And
you did it. You were like, pack up the handbasket.
I was literally like, well, hey, Satan, how's it going? I'm happy that I figured out how to diddle myself.
That's I think like one of the best episodes of Big Mouth.
Yes, I agree. When she finally and it's Kristen Wiig's voice for the vagina.
So
that's my
We were watching that show. I think I talked to you guys about it, Married at First Sight. And you know, they meet with these experts. The experts like profile them, set them up with who they think on paper is their perfect match. Of course, you could never anticipate how people will actually react when placed in these situations. And they go on this honeymoon together, and then they have to spend 8 weeks like married, living in the same apartment. And like one of the overlaying like arguments that continued to come up was sex. So it's interesting to see it like put into fast forward motion, when, because at the end of 8 weeks, they have to decide if they want to stay married or get divorced, which is dumb because I'm like, if it's going kind of okay, just say. They're like, this is the biggest decision of my life. I'm like, no, it's not. Stay with them for another 6 months. If it doesn't work out, then get divorced. Like, you already married them. What's... But one of the biggest things that a lot of these couples argued about was the amount of appropriate sex for a married couple to be having. And it was interesting to watch the dynamic, because the majority of the women were in the stance of, no, I married you. I really want to get to know you, because I don't want the sex to cloud my judgment on whether or not I genuinely have feelings for you, or if it's, I'm just caught up in like the whole sex thing. But I was sitting there, and Lex and I were talking last night, and because this one girl, she's beautiful, like stunning, like one of those girls that if you were to pass you, you'd be like, holy shit, man, like this girl was gorgeous. But she was a 27-year-old virgin, and she was like saving herself for marriage. So of course she spent 27 years not having sex, and then she marries this man who was sweet and patient and kind, and he was absolutely wonderful. And but you could see the disconnect, because at the one hand, the one time she's like, no, I really need to get to know you. But she was like, she was uncomfortable kissing. She was uncomfortable like any type of intimacy. And at the very end, even though they were super compatible and really good together, he wanted a divorce and she wanted to stay together, because there was like this huge portion of their relationship missing. And it was just interesting to watch it unfold, because these people were perfect for each other. Like you could see the way they worked together, the way they communicated. They fought well. Like they were very respectful in everything that they did. And they were missing this like emotional intimacy. And then you watch these other couples that are having sex like 6 times a week, and they're just at each other's throats. And it's because their passion like runs so high. So when that's turned in the wrong direction, they're ready to like kill each other. And then there was this one like really normal couple, and they had like sex 2 or 3 times since they've been married. And he was always kind of pushing for a little bit more, as men do. And it got me to thinking, like, is how many times a week do you expect to have sex an appropriate conversation to have with someone prior to getting married? Because think about how many arguments you have heard your friends have, you may have had with people who aren't having enough sex or feel like their partner wants it too much. Like, do you think that's an appropriate conversation to have? Like, you're supposed to talk about finances. You're supposed to talk about whether or not you want to have kids. Like, you're supposed to talk about all those things. Is that a misstep?
Yeah, but don't you establish, I mean, unless you're going to be virgins when you get married, don't you establish your sexual habits before you get married?
But it shifts over time.
Yes,
I was just going to say, it ebbs and flows. So how do you know?
I truly think too, when you get together, there's that whole period where you're should be fucking like rabbits. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. you should be
like that first year. Yeah.
All the time. Like every time you see each other, if you're not living together, you should be having sex. Like, I mean, should be loosely, like I'm loosely. But like, I'm saying like in the sense that that's what is, I think expected, you know, you are expected.
It's the norm.
It's what's
a honeymoon period of where you're like, you fucking like crazy. And I think that that's okay. But then like, I do think, you know, especially like with girls and lesbians, and it's always the lesbian bed death, and you hear about it a lot, and it's not a stereotype for no reason. You know what I mean? Like it does happen. But I think too, like even when you do have that conversation before you get married, like I don't necessarily think it's going to hold up. Like you could say, I think we should have sex 3 times a week. And that may sound like a lot to the other person, but they'll say, okay, fine. But then, you know, 3 years into it, you're having sex once a month and you're like, that's not really 3 times a week, but it's also everything else is really great. So you find this moment where you're kind of like, I'm not going to be upset about this because everything else is really great. And, I just don't know what to, yeah, I just think it's crazy. I just think it's crazy. Sex is nuts and how it gets in our heads and our minds. And
well, if you're in a long-term relationship, you can't expect to have it the same number of times every week, week in and week out. I mean, like Stacy said, there are ebbs and flows. And some days somebody's going to be more in the mood. Some days you're not. And then, and I think that like, cause we've discussed the lesbian death bed before. And I think what we said was that if there's a man in the relationship, a man will notice a lull. He'll notice it a lot sooner than a woman will, especially if a woman's emotional needs are being met. I think that that's probably why maybe heterosexual relationships kind of stay a little more sexual than lesbian ones. But that's, you know, that it is a stereotype. It's a stereotype for a reason, because in a lot of relationships, it's true. But you can't always, you know, you can't always guarantee that, well, the first year of our relationship, we're having sex 6 times a week. 10 into year 10, that's just not going to be a thing, especially if you have kids, especially if you have houses and jobs and mortgages and all the, you know, life really does interfere. Especially if you have a job that's emotionally draining, because if you come home after an emotionally draining day,
right.
it's going to be really hard to muster up that school spirit, you know, if you've, you know, been with that person 10 or more years.
Well, I think too, like if long term you're on just vastly different pages, there's probably other things wrong.
Right. Right.
If you're so far off on how, like, clearly there's something.
Well, as for reference, like the couple that was talking, who is a great couple and they seem very happy now. But like he was asking her, so if we only had sex like once every other month, that would be okay with you? And she was like, I would just make sure it was like amazing, like wonderful, like whatever sex. And she was like, that wouldn't be okay with you? And he was like, no. Like, I'm not saying there has to be 3 times a week or 4 times a week, but right. It can't be every other month. And I was just like, damn, I wonder how many like fights are started by like, because then you had this other couple where he wanted sex every single day. And she's like, are you like a fucking sexaholic? We have sex like 3 or 4 times a week. Like, is that not enough for you? Because I have a UTI now. And like, I'm just not like, I feel like we cover our problems with sex. So there's like one end of the spectrum where it's like we mask our fighting and our anger and stuff by having angry sex. And then there's this other end of the spectrum where it's like, yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with once every 2 or 3 months. And the partner's like, okay, no. Like, that's mm-hmm. that's not like three times a week. That's like four times yeah. a year. Like, that's yeah. not. That's not. So that's what yeah. I meant more. Not like we have to have sex three times a week for the next 40 years, but right. more of like an expectation of sexual needs based on, hey, if you're a person that this is all you need, cool. I'm not wired that way. Right. Like, cause some people only want it that much and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But should that be a conversation you have? Not necessarily yes. every week, but like.
I 100% yeah. think you should have that. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a person with a really, really low sex drive, that is about that. Something. Yeah. That's something mm-hmm. worth mentioning before the wedding.
Right. Yeah. Is that something you find out by dating that first like couple years where you're doing, like Aaron said, you're doing it every chance you get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you know, if you're, as long as you're not waiting till your wedding night, you should be learning and establishing habits sexually that you recognize in each other. And if the sex isn't great in the first year or the second year, you know, maybe there's a compatibility issue and you might want to, you know, look into that before you go and get married for the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's the problem with waiting until marriage.
Oh yeah.
You know, test driving the car.
Right. Same thing with cohabitating.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Move in and find out that they do things so different. Like, mm-hmm. I found out that Kai doesn't refrigerate leftover pizza. He puts it in the box and puts it in the oven. Like, the oven is a refrigerator.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
There are dairy products on that.
But we lived together before we were married. But, I mean, people do weird, different things. So finding that out after you're married is just going to cause fights.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, this one... The woman who was a virgin, she kept trying to say, like, it shouldn't be an obstacle in our relationship, but she was making it an obstacle. Like, they had a sex therapist on there talking to her, and she was like, you have to stop talking about it as, like, he's taking your virginity. Like, that's not a thing someone takes mm-hmm. from you. You decide that you are going to either be a virgin or not be a virgin.
Right.
And you decide when that ends. Like, you're making it seem like he's stealing something from you when you have complete body autonomy.
That's
like,
not healthy.
Yeah. So you wonder, like, I understand, like, hey, we live a lot longer now than we did in the 1800s. People live to, you know, 90, not 40. So
yeah.
Like, the whole idea, I understand also when there was no birth control and saving yourself from marriage because it was difficult to deal with pregnancy and births and like all of these things. And like, it was really hammered home. I just don't really see a place for it in civilized society anymore. Like, people do not wait till they're married. And I think you're actually doing a disservice to your children to tell them you should wait until you're married. I think it's okay to tell them wait till you love someone, to care about them. Like, it should be an emotional exchange that happens between two people. That's not just physical. Right. But this whole idea of abstinence is best and wait till you're married and, you know, don't spread your legs for anyone is
and
so
also don't
outdated.
Masturbate.
Well, it's dangerous. It's,
yeah. It's misogynistic too, because it makes girls feel like sex is a bad, dirty thing. Right. And that you can't go do it with a whole bunch of different people. You have to do it with this one man. And if you don't wait for the one man and you spread your legs, you must be a big whore and you're dirty. And I think that it takes a lot of the enjoyment away from the girl, because she's, even before she starts having sex, there's this stigma that, well, it's a dirty thing. And so you must be dirty if you want to do it.
Sorry, Stacey, you go.
Oh, no, I was just going to say there was this focus for such a long time too on like, just the men need to get off. Like, it's not really important for women to have orgasms, you know? Mm-hmm. And honestly, you know what, like, was such a good learning moment for me was watching the movie Pleasantville.
Oh, which
sounds weird, but I was in like, I don't know, sixth or seventh grade when that movie came out. And so seeing it, I was like, you know, so like, you're at that age, you're in middle school or whatever. But in high school, when I watched it, I was like, wait, like, women used to not have orgasms back then? Like, that wasn't a thing that was, like, I didn't know that it, like, and me in my, like, Libra mind, I was like, that's not fair. This poor lady can't. So then I was so proud of her. She just went and got it done herself. And, you know, that's a great movie, by the way. If you guys
it is a really good movie.
I
need to watch it as an adult.
Yeah.
so yeah, me too. Good.
Well, it also goes back to like what that sex therapist was telling Iris, is the name of the girl on the show, is like, we taught girls for a long time, a man will take this from you. Mm-hmm. Like, you save it for them to take, and then they take it. Like, it's their decision.
That's terrible.
Oh, well, you sign all those weird purity, you know, get a purity ring from your dad.
That's
and
very
give you away.
And a promise ring. And
That's not healthy.
You know what show you guys should watch, because it's very good and it's not on anymore, but was Masters of Sex?
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember there was an episode Allison Janney was on, and it was that same thing. She was like, you know, well, it, I'm not going to spoil things. There's other reasons why she wasn't having a super fulfilled sex life, but just that this poor woman was, no, but her husband.
Oh.
Ah. Yeah.
Oh, I knew one of them was.
Yeah.
It was little Mr. Flaccid.
And her poor character was like in her 50s and had never had an orgasm before. Never.
Ooh,
that's sad. And I was like, imagine how many women of that. Now, that movie or that show takes place like in the 60s-ish, or at least when it starts. But
early 60s.
Yeah, but imagine how many women just never, like, it wasn't important. That's not what the point was. And it's like, it's crazy to me. That show is so fascinating, too, because I didn't know. It seems crazy to me that as human beings and how far back you can date, like, medicine and things like that, that nobody studied sex.
Yeah.
Outside of reproduction until the 1960s.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Because it was a subject that was taboo. You didn't talk about it. You did it in your dark bedroom, in your house, at night, in the missionary position, right? And you don't talk about it. It's for the wife, it was a function. It was another wifely duty. And as gross as that sounds, a lot of the girls viewed it as a wifely duty. You, even if you're not in the mood, you do it because that's your job, that you take care of your husband, and that's one of the ways that you do it, as gross as it sounds.
Well, it reminds me of Outlander.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time that they have sex, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Has anybody started Mrs. America on Hulu yet?
No, I need to catch up on Outlander. Yeah.
I'm just going to say, in episode 3 of the first season of Mrs. America... it is a phenomenal show. It's based on the Equal Rights Amendment and the push for that in the early 70s. And, you know, they have like Gloria Steinem's character and Bella Abzug and Betty Friedan and all those women from the late 60s and early 70s that pushed for feminism and women's rights. And their foil was a woman named Phyllis Schlafly, who was like the total opposite, the conservative prima donna, married to a well-to-do lawyer husband. And
Wasn't she on Mrs. Maisel?
She might have been. I didn't watch Mrs. Maisel, though. But, she was.
Do you remember that?
Woman, this woman made a name for herself in trying to block all kinds of modernization and rights for women.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a scene when she has sex with her husband, and it is a powerful, powerful scene. I'm not going to describe it because I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it is a really powerful scene. And even though no words are spoken, man, the message that you got about what a woman's role was in a marriage in the, you know, the pre feminist era, it's very powerful. And you know, I can't wait back.
One of the movies that I absolutely love, now we're talking about like marriage and the dynamic between a man and a woman and their what they exchange sexually, is Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, the true story of Wonder Woman? Of course I've seen that.
I know you have, Jackie, but has anybody else?
I have not.
So
fucking good. First
of all,
the
real story behind Wonder Woman. You have to watch it. It's on Amazon. It's so good.
It is literally it's called Professor Marston and the Wonder Woman.
Okay.
It is literally one of my very favorite movies. B, it has a phenomenal score. Like, the score for that movie is amazing. If you do nothing else, go to Amazon Music and listen to the music. It is so amazing. Also, it really delves into the idea that a man can, A, need different things from different women, and so can a woman, which I thought was really interesting, is that a woman can actually need different things from different people and sexually need different things from different people. And I thought it was so well done in the sense that, like, at the end of everything, it was the women's relationships that meant more than the man that tied them together. And I'm not saying that because I'm a lesbian. I'm saying that because I just found it interesting, probably also because I'm a lesbian. But also, I just, like, it was so cool to see how they did not find anything wrong internally with their relationship, the three of them together. And I think that it was really well done in the sense that, like, there's so much that can happen between different people at different times in a relationship. And to know that that can get worked out together, to be honest, it's really a phenomenal movie, and I'm sad that it doesn't have more fans or following.
It talks about, it will show you where the costume for Wonder Woman came from, like, right, the actual lasso of truth, where that comes from. Like, it's all of these. Wonder Woman, the comic version that we know now, the comic book version, was a combination that this man wrote of his wife and his mistress, but the mistress was involved in their relationship. Like, they had a polyamorous relationship, so they were a truple, whatever, I think that's what you call it. But the relationship that the three of them have, he discovered that the two women combined was essentially like the perfect.
Right.
What'd you say? Did you correct me? Truple?
Yeah.
Truple.
Thank you. Truple. I like truple.
When you're in a relationship with a tree,
you're in a truple.
Are you into mushrooms?
If you're with Trump, you're in a truple.
It was truly fascinating, though, because, yeah, the three of them did not see, and they had a child together. Like, it's fascinating to watch how society treated them, how his job treated them, how the comic book industry treated them. Like, they reworked Wonder Woman to be what we culturally know now, and that's not how she started.
Right.
It's super fascinating. That's a good reference. And I don't mean to bring it back to the show I was watching, but one of the interesting things Keith said to Iris, who's the virgin, was at their, like, reunion when they were talking about the reasons that they broke up, was he said, I'm not divorcing you because you're a virgin. Like, I can't be responsible for creating your foundation of intimacy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't need that kind of pressure. Like, first you kind of think it's a cop out. Like, he's just sexually frustrated and he's pissed that he has spent 8 weeks with this woman that won't have sex with him, that he's given, like, put a lot into, and she won't even budge, like, barely kissing this man. And then you realize there's a lot of truth in that, because he was saying, like, you don't know who you are or what you want in like, intimate relationship, and I do not want to be, like, the cornerstone for saying this is how it should be done or shouldn't be done. Like, you need to go self-discover for a while, and then maybe you and I, because he kept saying, like, I have nothing but respect for you, I think you're an amazing woman, like, I think you're wonderful, we make sense in every way, but this can't happen. Gina's literally peeing while she's on the phone with us.
I literally can't handle it anymore.
I had to do a lot of hydrating today. I could not hold it.
Unless she turned the camera around.
I seriously.
Dude, I was on a Zoom call. I was on a Zoom call today, and someone flushed a toilet.
Oh, that's so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Mute.
I laughed.
Right?
It was such a boomer moment. I felt so bad for whoever did it, that you could tell they were on their phone, but had, like, something over their camera, because you could just see things changing the whole time. We never saw their face. And then we just heard a flush, and the consultant who was running the meeting was like, well, you guys know it's not here. we laughed so hard.
Oh, Jean.
Have you guys, like, I have this thought, like, it seems like on TV and people I've talked to have said, like, they're in shitty relationships, but they stay in them. And when you're like, why are you in this relationship? They say, because the sex is so good. I don't get that at all.
I don't get it either. Mm-hmm.
No, they just haven't had the opportunity to have sex with someone where a relationship could be good.
Right.
I feel
okay, because I feel like this happens kind of a lot. And I'm like,
I agree with you.
What?
Well,
yeah.
I think it's like, I think sex can mask issues in a relationship. Like, if you have really great sex with someone, you could mistake that for having good chemistry with them. So you'll replace that. You'll give up some of your emotional needs that aren't being met because you can trick yourself into thinking you're being fulfilled because of sex. Because sex releases dopamine, endorphins, like all of these things that give you a high. So you can trick yourself into thinking at that time that you have more intimacy than you actually have with that person. Right. And it's hard for people to believe because we've been fed this string of myths about sex, about like you should wait until you're married and it should be with like all these people that you really care about, that if the sex is good, then your relationship on some level must also be good.
But them saying it when you're like, why do you stay with him? God, you all you do is complain.
Out,
and they
right?
say,
yeah,
because the sex is so good. So it's like they know that.
But it's not that good.
It's an easy cop out
There's
to your
no
friends,
way. Right?
Because you don't want to say my emotional
because
needs
you're lazy
are...
and I'm comfortable.
Well, no, it's not just that. It could be a plethora of things. It could be I don't think that I'll be. I'm too old to find someone else. I don't want to start over.
I'm financially dependent on them.
Or I don't want to have to sell the house and start over an apartment. You know, we have kids together. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put them through. Like, there's all these things to go through your head. And I think it's an easier cop out to say, but we have chemistry in bed. So there still must be something there between us. When I don't think that's, I think women have tricked themselves into thinking, men don't care. I think women into that. They'll stay with an asshole.
I also think, too, that a lot of times when women stay in a relationship where the sex is, quote unquote, so good, it's because they literally don't know that it could be better somewhere else. They may think, yes, the sex is amazing because I it feels really good. Maybe they don't even have an orgasm and they have to get themselves off afterwards. Like, there's so many things that might happen in their sex life that they equate to being so good because they know no different. And I think if they were given the opportunity to have sex in an intimate relationship with someone where they are compatible, both intimately, emotionally, physically, all the things, that they would be like, okay, that is so much better than the sex that I thought was so good before.
And I think
well, trauma bonds also manifest as
fucking
intense,
trauma bonds.
Intense sexual chemistry. Trauma bonds can manifest. You could, if you are trauma bonded to somebody, it could come off as like crazy sexual chemistry.
Well, and too, the guy could be incredibly sweet to them right before because he's trying to get sex. The guy could be incredibly nice to them right after because they just had sex. Like, there's all of these things that they could do nice for them leading up to or right after as an after effect of the dopamine and the endorphins that have nothing to do with how that individual actually feels about the person or what Gene was saying, the trauma bond. And women mistake that for actual caring. When that's just a means to an end.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
I don't get angry sex or hate sex either.
I don't either.
If you've been in
I don't either.
Fuck off. Yeah.
Right? If you've been in a really bad
get out
fight
of here with that.
And
yeah.
you haven't even made up yet.
Yeah.
And like they're like, no, we hate fucked. I'm like,
no.
That's
right. Don't touch me. Don't even look at me. In fact.
No, I'm still angry.
You
don't
should
bring
text
me
from the other room with your apology and let me decide if I'm going to forgive you.
Right?
The L word where Bette and Tina have sex and it's so angry and mean. It's just the word. And it is the most uncomfortable sex scene I've ever watched in my whole life. And I've watched a lot of porn. Like, I literally was like, this is so, I'm so uncomfortable because, like, I just can't handle when people don't like each other. You know what I mean? Like, this is my Pisces aspect right there. It's like, I don't want you to not like each other and have sex. That's not going to work for me. It might work for you, but it's not going to work for me. Like, it's just, it's so
uncomfortable. Do you think hate fucking is a real thing or is just a TV thing?
I think it's a real thing, but I think it's mistaken for, like, the clothes ripping off passion.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. because I've talked to, like, girlfriends that say, like, oh, like, we got in a fight, but, like, the angry sex was really good. And I'm like, really? I think it's got to be, like, a passion kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you can fuck all the way off with not that. I am not interested.
I hold a grudge.
Right? I hold a grudge, too. Mad. I'm like, you better come home with some flowers and sushi if you're trying to get laid after that.
I don't want to be hate-fucked. I want to be hate-fed. All right?
Right. Plus, but I probably ate my feelings and had some wine because I was mad about the fight. And so that's for sure not going to happen now. Or chances are we got in the fight because I'm on my period. Not so logical right now. So really fuck all the way off.
Which is another thing that I'm not into is period sex.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nope.
Are we like really agreeing on everything here?
So which is, because I at least, I have to go to the bathroom.
Is period sex like a big thing with lesbians though? Because I feel like
Aaron's that's called earning your red wings.
Yeah, Aaron's got different thoughts, but.
Well, here's my thing. Okay. I personally do not mind being touched. I don't want to have any sort of mouth.
You don't want to do the touching?
No, I'll do the touching. I will do the touching and the mouth as long as there's something inside. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Something's
blocking
the
tamping. As long as there's a tamping in the old canal, I'll do whatever. I don't fucking care. But like, I personally don't want someone putting their mouth down there because I just feel so gross. I feel gross. Even if I'm freshly cleaned, I just feel gross.
Me too. Plus, all of these that come with having your period. You feel bloated. You have cramps. You feel tender.
Just gross.
Everything about it. You got the period poops. Nobody wants to do it with the period poops.
Yeah, right?
Right? If I have period poops, you better believe I got period farts. All right? Let's be real.
That's not a thing I could ever get on board with. But maybe it's those girls that have, like, two-day periods.
Yeah, I think it depends on the, like, the extreme nature of your period. Do you have severe cramping? Do you feel real bloated? Like, for some girls, I don't think it's a big deal.
Right.
That's not my jam. But
especially, it would be your jam if you were into it.
Well, as I've gotten older, my cramps have gotten worse. Like, the older I get with my period, my cramps have gotten worse. When I was in my 20s, I didn't even get cramps. I didn't even know I was going to get my period until I was like, if I didn't track it, I didn't know what it was going to happen. But since I hit my 30s, like, my cramping has gotten substantially worse.
Mine is like clockwork. I will literally get cramps 5 minutes before my period starts.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is.
Mine's been terrible since I was 12.
Yes. And it is like, sometimes it's the most horrific cramps I've ever had. I, one time at work, I was at my job when I was like in my, like, maybe my junior year of college. I worked at a marketing company, but I also worked in the warehouse. And I literally, in the warehouse bathroom, which was where men went to the bathroom, that's all I gotta say, I laid on the floor because my cramps were so bad. I was like hyperventilating. I had like lobster claws because I was like hyperventilating. I was like, my cramps were so fucking bad. Like, I get the worst cramps. Like, if I do not stay on top of them with ibuprofen,
me too.
I will. Yeah,
exactly.
I have a prescription.
I still, you know what? I'm almost at the end of my period now, but I still get fucking cramps right to the bitter end. Mother Nature's gonna stick it to me.
Being a woman is not the business.
No, I mean, the only good thing is boobs. Like, I like looking at them.
Right, but like, I would say my like boob pain sensitivity is sometimes worse than my cramps are. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes, like, if a wind blows the wrong,
like, if someone brushes against
period,
you.
I will sock somebody in the face because they just hurt.
Honestly, I am not somebody that's like essential oils, But my boobs hurt like the day before my period, like pretty bad. Like I notice it. I don't want to wear a bra that day. My mom goes, she's not an essential oils person either. But my mom goes, take this little pill on Amazon. It's called Evening of Primrose Oil. Mm-hmm. It's some natural.
That sounds like a period tonic.
I was like, okay, mom. Right? I was like, okay, mom, sure, whatever.
My blooming
rose.
I was
like desperate one like month because I was like, my boobs hurt like so bad right before my period that I tried it. It actually worked. Like, it actually really helped.
What's it called?
Evening of Primrose Oil, I think.
Primrose Evadine.
That's all I could think of.
Dude, I was like real like, okay, because I'm just not that person. I'm not somebody that's like, I'm going to take all natural elderberry to get rid of the flu.
You're not trying to fight coronavirus with essential oils.
Right?
Not talking about it,
Can you talk to some of the girls I went to high school with about that?
Yeah. I was like real skeptical, but I started it like 6 days before I was supposed to get my period because I was like, well, it's not going to hurt me any.
Let me just try it.
And it really worked. My boobs did not hurt for that entire period.
Doesn't hurt.
Huh. Yeah.
You think like essential, like, no. You know, nope. Holistic no. Method? No.
No. Do it.
Although be careful about that kind of stuff because I've read all sorts of crazy things with people diffusing oils that it's not good for pets. There are certain things people are diffusing, and it's really bad for pets. I know that has nothing
lavender.
To do with this.
What about lavender?
Lavender.
I do think some have some relaxing and healing elements. I don't think they're a cure for... You should not take rows of bloody paw to get rid of polio. Like, that's not a thing that should happen. Like,
okay, what do you think about, like, things that are supposed to be aphrodisiacs? Do you think that really works? Like, oysters and
honestly the only reason I think that it could be a thing is because you're in the headspace thinking it's gonna happen.
I cannot think of something less sexy than an oyster. Like literally if you were to like, hey, pick the least sexy food, I'm like, oh, the big loogie you suck out of a seashell, that one.
I don't like oysters either.
Sloppy Joe's
looges out of him. Did you just say Sloppy Joe?
If someone were to ask me what the least sexy food is, I would go.
I know, right? Like that's what we had on like Halloween.
Sloppy Joe.
What? I love that song.
What
I
know. Everyone obsessed with this week.
Oh my god.
Netflix. So, okay. Well, one show is not on Netflix, but TV shows in general. Number one is Letterkenny. It's not great. It's on Hulu. It's a bunch of like Canadian guys that their one-liners are so smart and so freaking funny that I'm watching it just like in the background just for the one-liners. And number two is we just started a show on Netflix that's called Outer Banks.
Oh, I've been wanting to watch that.
Is that what it's called? Outer Banks?
You have enough on your list.
The first episode has me super excited to keep watching it. It's kind of about like, it's a bunch of like scrappy kids that live on the coast and they earn their money like washing boats and catching crabs and fish and like, you know, like real surfer kind of like vibe. And they go after like a sunken treasure. So it's got like really good, I don't know, vibes about it that I'm really excited to keep watching it. So watching it with my kids.
Cool.
Sweet. Stacey. I'm obsessed. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Gene.
Big Gene.
Oh. Big Gene.
I'm going to highly recommend to all the ladies, Mrs. America. You know what? Even if you're not interested in women's history, which if you're a woman, you should, just saying. But Kate Blanchett.
Oh, fuck me.
Did I mention I Kate Blanchett plays
Phyllis Schlafly? Say it again. Say her name one more time.
Kate Blanchett.
Oh yeah, baby.
she plays Phyllis Schlafly. So I mean, come on. You don't have to give a damn about the ERA. And you know what I love about Hulu, and maybe some people hate this, is that when they have a new series, they only release like three episodes at a time. Mm. So you can't sit there and watch the whole episode in one weekend day. So you have to wait. The good old-fashioned days of having to wait for that episode to come. So on Wednesday nights, I think they'll put out like another three, and I can't wait to get into the other three. Freaking awesome. Mrs. America, Hulu.
I listened to an interesting, everyone on here knows I listen to Pantsuit Politics, which if you're going to get your news from anyone, get it from them. But they were talking about this show on last week's episode, and Sarah was talking about how she's always had a fascination with ladder pushers. And this woman, Phyllis, is a ladder pusher. Like, as women start to climb the ladder, it's almost always a woman who's at the top that pushes it down to not let others climb up. And it happens for a multitude of reasons, the way they were brought up, their own self-worth, like their own place in the patriarchy and how it's actually protected by the men that they're trying to validate. Like, it's fascinating. And she was saying, you know, we talk about all the men that control our lives. We don't talk about the ladder pushers who are our own people who have set us back millennia because of their own behaviors, because it's easy then for the other side to take a look and say, it's the same thing when you see one black guy at a Trump rally, like every news outlet wants to interview them because it just doesn't make any sense. They're an outlier. So you see this woman of privilege and this woman of, you know, who kind of spits in the face of the feminist movement, who says, no, mm-hmm. you girls are wrong. So that it's easy to become then like the poster child of the patriarchy, because they look like you, they sound like you, they talk like you, and they push ladders down, and it takes even longer to reclimb them. So it was an interesting, that's was my first like, oh my God, I have to watch this show, because ladder pushers fascinate me also. What type of person hinders their own kind to achieving ultimate success because they fear their own place of power being lost? So I think that adds a different fascinating element to it.
Yeah, yep. And when you think about like it, like let's just say like the ladder, like you know you raise a ladder and you raise it up. If it falls down, it's even harder to push back up. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, so if it falls down, it's only at 3 feet. Well, it's going to be easy to push up. But if it falls down and it's at 60, 70, 80 feet, like that ladder is going to be so much fucking harder to push back up. And that is so true when you think about like the amount of crazy whack job women in this world that like side with these weird conservative theories that like, and I'm not saying like Republican women are bad. That's not what I'm saying.
Well, Susan Collins is the first one that jumped into my mind.
Right.
She fucking pushed the ladder down on all of us when she voted for Brett Kavanaugh.
Right. Like, it's like, and now we have to like push this ladder up where we're like trying to figure out like, all right, you guys listen, like when we literally say that you've sexually harassed us, you fucking sexually harassed us. Like we shouldn't have to fucking prove that. So like pushing a ladder up that's like so many years worth of ladder raising is just, it's not impossible. And that's the beautiful part, is that women band together to make it to make it possible again. But like, it looks impossible when you're just standing there. Like, how the fuck do we get this ladder back up?
You have to be a ladder raiser.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or a ladder builder more.
Right. Builder. Yeah. First you gotta build it.
And if you don't have ladder builders, it doesn't matter.
Right. For sure. For sure.
Stacey?
I have been continuing shut up, Aaron. My Star Trek The Next Generation journey with Aaron.
Hey, yo.
Dorks. I jumped around a lot because...
Yeah, I mean, you just left me and I was what the fuck? She's like, I jumped around. I'm like, well, I'm so...
No. Well, no, because here's the thing I was so interested about. So the couple that I was like, oh, hardcore shipping when I was younger, Captain Riker, Counselor Troi, those were like my people. I just wanted to be her, whatever. But I never noticed because I was so young. I just liked her because she had pretty hair. So when I go back and watch it the first couple seasons, I'm like, her character is so pointless. And she wears a different uniform than everybody else, and it's a whole thing. So I ended up watching an interview with the chick who plays her, and she is hilarious and so smart, and I'm like even a bigger fan now. But she was saying like, it's as though like you can't be attractive and smart. So once they filled that, you know, character, that role with her, and people were like, oh, she's so hot. the brains just like flew out the window. You can't be pretty and smart at the same time. And so for a long time, yeah, she just didn't have any, you know, anything to do. And then there was an episode where she gets told, they have like a new captain, whatever. And she gets told like, you need to wear a regular uniform. And as soon as she does that, boom, she's smart. All of a sudden she knows things. So I just thought it was funny, her interpretation and how she is not afraid to say like, yeah, that was super misogynistic. And like, don't look at me as a feminist in that role, because that's not what was happening. Like, I was purely ornamental for a lot of time. But so far, the weirdest thing that I've watched in an episode is Dr. Crusher had sex with a ghost that lived in a lamp that had been having sex with all of the female members of her family for several years. So there are moments when I watch this show and I just question.
I cannot even.
Was this on TV? Not even on like regular TV, because a thing I found fascinating that I might have shared before is it wasn't sold to a major network. It was just directly into syndication. So it was like everywhere all the time. So you could watch this thing at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and this doctor is having sex with a lamp ghost.
My favorite part of Stacey's obsession is her Marco Polos to me. Aaron,
I'm so glad the rest of us don't have to watch
Right? Me too. Going back and watching it, like once you get through the first season is not very good. Yeah. It's like, it's so funny. And so, like, it's very, very clever. Even now, it holds up, I think, a lot.
I feel like the first season, after they realized they didn't need to take themselves so seriously.
Right.
Then once they decided, like, okay, you guys, come on. We're in a fucking spaceship in space having sex with aliens. Let's not take ourselves so fucking seriously. Then things start to pick up. Because I'll be honest with you, this first season is making me want to put a gun to my head. Yeah, I haven't.
Maybe even skip it. It's rough.
Because, like, I remember watching these episodes, and I do not remember being this irritated. Of course, no, I was.
I remember, like, 15. I remember specific episodes from when I was younger. So what I have noticed is not a single one of those is in the first or second seasons, I don't think.
Yeah.
Based on Troy's costumes.
Hey.
Aaron, what are you obsessed with?
So, so Gail, obviously, she's not working right now. So every night we watch a movie. And I tried to get her into Star Wars, and she's just lame, whatever. She watched the first one. She watched episode 4, A New Hope. And, like, obviously she had some, like, real nostalgia moments, which I was happy about. But she just couldn't, like, latch on. So I was like, all right, okay. So we switched it up. So we started at the beginning of Harry Potter. And I am, once again, obsessed with Harry Potter. I'm watching videos about Harry Potter.
Yay! Oh my God, like, that's how I am with Star Trek.
Like, I'm literally, like, obsessed all over again with Harry Potter. And I think a lot of what I love about Harry Potter is that people that don't read the books can still be excited about it and still be invested in it. And we just finished 6, so the Half-Blood Prince. And one of the things that last night we watched it, and I will never, ever, 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 ever forget reading when, you know, Stacey, anyone that's read it, aside from Jackie, like, you remember, read it, watched it, when that one character has that moment when they put the wands to the sky, and it's just, like, one of the most, like, I don't remember ever in a book crying as hard as I did then, and then also in the movie. Like, because you know it's coming. You know it's happening. And then in the movie, it happens, and it's still the same.
Cry just as much.
Just as much, maybe even harder, and I did again last night. And I don't, I've seen this, I've seen episode 6. Like, now I'm like Star Wars in it. Like, I've seen that movie. I can't even, that's one of my favorites. So I've probably seen it like 25, maybe 30 times. Like, it's,
me too.
Right? Like, it's so crazy, but I still cried and I still am invested. I'm still so connected to these characters, and seeing that just made me like all over again. And one of the really cool things is, like, so I hate to say this because it makes it sound like Gail doesn't like get into what I get into, but
she's not a big, huge fan of, like, watching movies all the time. Like, she works in the evening. Like, that's her job. She works. So when I'm at home watching movies, she's out at work making money. So she's watched more movies with me in the last, you know, 5 weeks than probably most of her life. I mean, she's been a server since she was 16. So I recently, like, we were watching a movie. We were watching one of the Harry Potters, and she said, like, oh, this is this, and this is when this happens. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, you pay attention. I'm so excited. Like, this is so fun. Like, let's be invested in this together. And now we're both, like, we can't wait to go on to the next one, and we can't wait to do more. And, like, I've been watching all these, like, cool Harry Potter movies where they – or things on YouTube where they talk about, like, all these cut scenes that they should have included. And I don't know. I'm just, like, really geeking out over Harry Potter again.
I have the illustrated books. I mean, yeah. It's, like, the exact same book, but it's mm-hmm. illustrated. And I read them to the girls, like, just for fun at night. And they're really good. I really recommend them.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's the same thing, but it's a picture book. So it's just as exciting.
Oh, my God. I really would love that. And it's, like, the bigger version, right? It's, like,
this. Yeah, they're big. Yeah.
And they're, I would fucking love that. I love it. Sorry, Jackie.
What are you sorry for?
Because I know you don't like HP.
HP doesn't like Star Trek TNG either.
I'm actually obsessed with you, Aaron. Started reading A Road Home. The Road Home, sorry. I have not finished it just because work has been crazy, but Aaron, this is your best one so far. You guys, it's phenomenal.
Don't make me cry.
And everyone sitting here is in the acknowledgement, so you should do yourself a favor and read it. So it's very, very good. Your characters are probably the most in-depth of any that you've ever written that I've read of yours. I don't know what other stuff you've done. And it is so real. I'm proud of you. This book's phenomenal.
You're gonna make me cry.
Yeah. I actually have scheduled an hour out of my day because my day is so chaotic right now, so that I can actually walk on the treadmill and, like, just have time that actually shows up as busy on my calendar. And I've been reading your book while I'm doing it, so I only get to read it, like, an hour at a time. So I'm not as far along as I normally would like. But Aaron, legitimately, if this does not win all of the awards, I would be shocked. It's really good, and everyone should go read The Road Home. It is so good. So, so good. So I just wanted to tell you that I'm really proud of you.
Thank you very much.
It's phenomenal.
Yay.
Thank you. Yay. That book is a lot for me. It is a lot. That is very much my road.
Normally I find the whole, like, Ice Queen kind of thing, it's not my jam. I don't like it. But it makes so much sense in this book that there's no other option to this character. And I find that refreshing because I think the typical Ice Queen has been done over and over and over again. And this one, you get it. You get it because the dynamic between a mother and her daughter is so complicated. And so there's so many layers and logistics and, like, twists and turns to that. It's probably the most, like, precious relationship people have, and probably for most people, most mothers and daughters, also the most kind of obtuse. Like, it's a very hard road to navigate as an adult woman with your mom. And I think you have just done a brilliant job. So it's really, really good. Straight, gay, whoever you are, you should read this book. It's really good.
Yay.
Thanks. Jackie, you just made my heart so happy and I cried.
Don't ruin it by being weird.
I'm on Pisces. Christ, you can't do that to me.
How's everyone's alcohol? Good. Aaron's is good.
Great.
Fantastic.
The first mimosa I've had in such a long time.
Listen, if you guys are going to drink box wine, drink Black Box. It's the good box wine, if there is a good box wine.
Does it come in a bladder?
Yep.
Ah, sweet. So you could take it out and just fucking...
Listen, it was on sale.
So put it in you just put it in your sports bra.
It holds 4 bottles of wine. It lasts a week.
I have no... no judgments for you. I have none.
All right, that's it for us this week, everybody. Stay safe, stay 6 feet apart, and wash your fucking hands.
Don't inject yourself with disinfectant.
Never.
Don't spray it down your throat either.
Cool. Yeah. Don't drink bleach. Don't be
that asshole who happens to be in the White House.
Mm-hmm. In a trumple.
A trumple.
Poor Melania. She's in a trumple.
She's in a trumple.
We can never end this podcast. It lasts forever. Bye.
Bye. Bye.